This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL, headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
What's up, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Football Nation is all football all the time. Bill Enright here along with Todd DeVries. Todd, we got a jam-packed show today. Can you believe it is already week 8 of the NFL?
Week 8. Ain't it great to be in week 8? Unbelievable stuff. It goes by fast, my friend.
It seems like we're already in, you know, the middle of the end of October. Before you know it, Thanksgiving's going to be here. Then once Thanksgiving rolls around, the holiday season, Christmas, and all the other holidays that come along towards the end of December, and then all of a sudden the regular season's over, then the playoffs start, and now it's going to be the off season before you blink your eye. So don't blink, Todd.
Slow down.
Huh? What? The last 8 weeks haven't gone that fast?
They've gone fast, Bill, but it's October 25th. Enjoy the moment. We're in the moment. Enjoy the moment.
I'm very anxious. I'm a very anxious person. I don't have a lot of patience.
Yeah, you're already fast-forwarding to, like, March.
The NFL draft is going to be here pretty soon.
It's my turkey gobble. It's almost Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. How about Halloween? Can we get to Halloween first?
Halloween's already passed almost. Past Halloween.
Halloween's like what? A week from
yesterday?
All right. Yeah. So it's coming quick.
And it's already behind me. I'm moving that fast. Can't keep up.
Well,
it's week 8 of the NFL. There's teams flying all the way to London this week. What the hell's going on with that?
I don't get it. I'm not a proponent of the international stuff. I think it's just keep the game at home, baby.
All right, this is what we're going to do on the show today.
Baby. Oh, boy.
Yeah, baby.
Get the Austin Powers sounds ready. We're going to be alluding to those throughout the entire show.
Kevin is going to be have the trigger finger ready for lots of, shall we say, British sound bites today.
I think you're good, baby.
I like that.
Yeah. Kevin is sitting there in the studio just loving life right now.
We're having fun.
We're having some fun. Yes, little werewolves.
I'm glad I'm not on this red eye tonight, I'll tell you that much. So I'm smiling.
Yeah, I bet.
There you go.
We'll get into the benefits and the negatives of playing in London. We've got a very busy show today. As I mentioned, week 8 of the NFL. It's going by fast. We'll preview all the games, especially the Patriots and Rams games taking over place in London this weekend. Spend some time helping everyone out with their fantasy football lineup. So if you have a question about your fantasy football team, you can give us a call at 508-298-0398, or you can email in webradio@patriots.com. A couple other things we'll have in store for you today. We'll go over the biggest idiots in the NFL from week 7. Everyone's favorite, the idiot report, is coming up in just a few minutes. And we will also reveal the Football Nation power rankings, plus give you an updated playoff picture. So a pretty busy show, Todd.
It's always busy, my friend. Let's get right to it.
All right. What do you say? Before we get to the idiot report, I want to mention the question of the day. We want to hear from Patriot fans. Do you guys like the fact that the Patriots have to play a game in London? You know, there's a lot of good things about it, and there's a lot of bad things about it. So if you have a very strong opinion about whether or not the Patriots, it's a good thing for the Patriots or just an NFL team playing a game in London, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 508-298-0398. And I don't really have a good segue for this, so let's just hop right in to the idiot report. All right, so the idiot report starts off. Now, this is the first idiot of week 7. It is not a player. All right, Todd? It's Jim Nantz, the CBS play-by-play announcer. Did you hear what he said at the end of the game, at the end of the Patriots and Jets game?
I watched the majority of the game. Obviously, I watched the whole overtime. And at the end of the game, they're kind of, you know, signing off for the day. And my ears perked up when I heard what he said. I just watched the game. I was like, the Patriots just won that game, right?
Yeah, Kevin, do you have the audio of that clip?
I do. Here we go.
Yeah.
Which we expect it will, is going to be a stunner. Biggest underdog of the day in the league. Here comes Triplett.
After review, the ruling on the field is confirmed. It is a fumble and a clear recovery by New England. Game is over.
And the New York Jets stand alone in first place now. New England Patriots, I should say.
Yeah, so Jim Nance, probably one of the most well-respected play-by-play announcers in terms of anything in the sports world. Very well-respected guy. He's a veteran when it comes to the broadcasting. But this was a major mess-up on his part. He says the New York Jets stand alone on top of the AFC East. Oh, and then he takes a little bit of a pause, and he says, oh, the New England Patriots, I should say. Hello, Jim Nance, what game were you watching?
Yeah, it was a little bit off. I mean, Jim's usually on the ball, but a little slip-up there. The weird thing was, at the very beginning of that clip, he was talking about the shocker of the day. Right,
right. The Jets being the biggest underdog.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like two things in a row. You know what I mean? He it was like a conscious. It was a thought in his head. I don't know what he was smoking, but my ears perked up definitely. Actually, I had my DVR. You know, I rewound it. I was like, did I just hear that? Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That was Jim Nance, first idiot of the week. Next idiot is Joik Bell, the Detroit Lions running back. Did you see the Monday night game? He tried to dive into the end zone from, like, the 4-yard line. And instead of getting a touchdown, he fumbles the ball. Joik Bell, you're not Stretch Armstrong, all right? You can jump from the 1-yard line. He didn't even get to the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden he takes off, like, with this dive. Lance Briggs and the Chicago Bears defense just stuffed him, and I think he lost a yard, and then he fumbled on the play.
Such an idiot.
What was he thinking?
What were all the Lion running backs thinking?
Yeah, it was a bad day for them.
Every time they got in the red zone, they did something wrong.
Yeah.
Fumbling. That was ridiculous. I mean, that's obviously a play where if you're at the goal line or the half-yard line, the 1-yard line, and you've got some ups, go ahead and go for the dive, right? But you don't launch from the 4-yard line. I mean, that was insane.
That was an idiot move.
Yeah, it was. And he fell short, and the Lions fell short, and the Lions' season is falling apart. And the Bears, the opportunistic Bears, that defense, I mean, you know, it's funny. When you have a defense that just forces so many turnovers and returns turnovers for touchdowns,
yeah.
Sometimes they do it because they're really good. Sometimes they do it because they're really lucky. You know, you right. get a Lions running back trying to dive over the pile from the 4-yard line. That's luck. That's not anything the Bears did right.
Right.
Idiot.
All right, next up is Emmanuel Sanders, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. It was pretty late in the game, and the Steelers didn't want to burn a timeout. So they're in a huddle, and then all of a sudden, the camera's on the huddle. All of a sudden, you just see Emmanuel Sanders just drop to the floor. He was faking an injury. He came out of the play to stop the clock so the team didn't have to take a timeout. He sat out one play. On the very next play when he got back in, the team punted. Ben Roethlisberger did like one of those pooch kicks. And then Emmanuel Sanders is the first one down the field to down the ball. Was that a miracle or what?
Yeah, miraculous.
Idiot.
Miraculous recovery. Wait, I remember the Giants did the same thing last year.
Right.
I can't remember. Deion Grant. Did they get fined for it? Or
they should.
Remember. Yeah, I can't remember. But that was pathetic last year, and it was pathetic again on Thursday night. Yeah, what are you going to say, man? But it was kind of funny because the cameras captured it. You know, there's no hiding anymore in the NFL. You do something like this. They caught it. They caught it before he did the punt return thing, or the punt coverage.
Right.
You know, they were like, oh, look, he looks fine, and then it looks like he was shot from the stands or something. He just fell down. And then he goes out there after the break and looks great covering that punt. So.
It was just ridiculous. Like, he was limping off the field. The coaches were carrying him.
Yep.
Like, come on. You're getting the Academy Award for that acting job.
Yep. He makes the idiot report. So there you
That's
go.
That's right.
Something to be proud of.
Last up, yeah, everyone wants to be on this list. Last up on the idiot report, the NFL scheduling committee. I got a big problem with this, Todd.
Idiot.
Last week, during the New England Patriots and the New York Jets game, they also had one other game on, but only one, and it was the Raiders and the Jaguars. Why does the scheduling committee put two games on in the afternoon? There's six games on at 1 o'clock Eastern, and then just two during the 4 o'clock Eastern session. And you know what? It's the same thing this week, and it's the same friggin' Oakland Raiders that we have to watch alongside the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. What is going on?
I don't know. We touched on this on our Tuesday show, and maybe it has something to do with the baseball playoffs and the contractual negotiations between all the networks. I really
right.
don't know. I mean, most of those games are in prime time, so it makes no sense. I don't know, but it sure is frustrating. Like you said, last week, let's tally it up here. Last week we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 1 o'clock games, right?
Yeah.
1 o'clock games. 2 4 o'clock games, 4:15, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Two. 8-2 ratio.
I don't get it.
No, it makes no sense. This week, same thing. It's actually worse, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I believe it's 9 1 o'clock at 2, 4 o'clock.
Right. So the Dallas Cowboys versus New York Giants is on at 4 Eastern. And then the Oakland Raiders taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, a game that everyone wants to watch.
Oh, yeah. That's a barn burner.
Yeah, that was a lot of sarcasm.
The Raiders, man.
A lot of sarcasm.
Raiders, Jags, Raiders, Chiefs.
Yeah, like, what are they doing?
I don't know. I don't get it, man. And like we said, it doesn't get much better. Next week, there's 3 4 o'clock games. The week after that, 3 4 o'clock games. Then back to 2, 3. So it's not till we get to week 13, Bill, where you have 4 4 o'clock games.
Mm. Week 13, yeah. I told you, it's going by fast this season. You're already focused on week 13.
Well, I'm trying to find you. I'm trying to find you a Sunday when you can kick back and watch Red Zone and watch more than two games on Red Zone. Scott Hansen, the host of Red Zone, he must be bored to tears when there's only two games to follow for 3.5 hours.
Maybe Scott Hansen's responsible.
You shouldn't post it till tomorrow.
Maybe Scott Hansen's responsible for having only two games on because it makes his job a lot easier.
I don't think I could hey, what's Kevin's voice doing here? Can you hear Kevin?
I can.
Sorry, guys, left my mic on.
Yeah, you did.
Kevin, you know, keep the business to yourself there, Chief. So,
well,
as you
say,
were saying, Bill.
I think Scott Hansen is responsible for only having two games on because it makes his job so much easier. You know, he's going long-winded. He's going to different games, play-by-play. Oh, this team's in the red zone. We got to move over here. Oh, my God, the Vikings scored. Oh, no. You know, he's going nuts. And then once the 4 o'clock games hit, now he's getting a little lethargic. He's tired.
He's eating
he has
lunch.
To go to the bathroom. He wants to eat lunch, get a
he's
bottle of water.
Catering.
You know what? He's like the Wizard of Oz.
To me, he's like the Wizard of Oz. I think we're underestimating the power of Scott Hansen.
We are. I'm going to try to get Scott Hansen on the show as a guest in the next couple weeks.
We should get him on.
He's a fellow Newhouse alumni like myself, so we have a pretty good
–
yeah, we're in the Newhouse Mafia together.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I picture him sometimes, Bill, behind the green curtain with all these levers and controlling what's going on in these games. Kind of like, what is that, that one commercial, the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial, where they kind of control the outcomes of the games?
Sometimes
when you're watching the Red Zone channel at the right time, when every game is within a minute of conclusion, it's just too good to be true. You can't believe every game is ending at the same time. You got to figure that Scott Hansen had something to do with that. He has something
Absolutely.
To do with it. He might be the most powerful man in the NFL. What do you think? Overestimating it?
Yeah, I think it's Scott Hansen, then Roger Goodell.
Yes, yes. Scott Hansen, he calls the shots.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, I'm pissed off about the NFL scheduling committee. Only two afternoon games in the 4 o'clock Eastern session.
We'll say this. At least they're giving us one good game of the two. They're not
two
stinkers.
The Cowboys and the Giants.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, last week was great drama with Patriots-Jets. This week should be great drama. So, you know, at least we have something to watch. Hopefully it's a good game, and we're not stuck watching the Raiders.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so that was the idiot report for Week 7. On to Week 8. Let's focus on Week 8. We're moving forward here. The Patriots are traveling to London to take on the St. Louis Rams, playing at Wembley Stadium. Now, this is the NFL has been doing this for a while, these games in London and, you know, trying to make an NFL more an international spectator sport. Well, what do you make of all this, Todd? Do you like the fact that two NFL teams have to travel all the way to Europe to play a game?
Oh, blimey!
Brilliant! I've never been a fan of it, Bill. I don't know if there's positives or negatives to the teams going over there. They always get a bye week right afterwards, right?
Yeah.
They get a little trip out of it. But the game is just so stale. Like, the game, the atmosphere's stale. The players don't seem into it.
It seems like a preseason game.
It's weird. I'm not into it. I'm not into it at all. So they always send one team over who's a terrible draw, like the Rams. You know?
Right.
They're not going to send a team over there that's selling out every game all the time. You know, they're going to take away a home game from one of these, you know, cellar dweller type teams and franchises.
Right.
So you never get a great game. It's not like they're sending the Giants and Cowboys over there. You know, they're sending the Patriots, which are a nice draw, obviously, but then they're sending them against the Rams. So not into it, you know, not into it at all. How about yourself?
Well, I made a list of the benefits of playing in London and the negatives in playing in London, and I'd like to share it with you.
Okay.
All right. So I'll start off with the benefits, okay? And then I want to hear from the fans. 508-298-0398 is the number. I want to hear your benefits and your negatives. But I'm going to start off with my benefits. Benefits of playing in London. All right. Both teams get to go to Europe. That's pretty cool. Not everyone gets a chance to go to Europe in their lifetime, right?
Yeah, but they're not really going to Europe. They're just going to London.
Well, unless I'm a geographical idiot, I'm pretty sure London's in Europe.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, how many of them are touring Europe? Like after?
I don't know. They have a bye the following week. Yeah, maybe they'll hang out for a couple days.
I think they're probably coming home and hanging out with the family with jet lag and all that other crap. But I hear you. They get to travel somewhere different.
Somewhere different. All right, they get to represent America in the greatest game on earth. That one's an obvious benefit.
Okay.
I mean, football reigns supreme in the world, regardless of where you live.
All right.
Euro chicks. Have you seen these Euro chicks lately, Todd? Very skanky. Very promiscuous. You know, they're not like these prudes here in America. Euro girls are, very open to experimentation.
I thought the British were like tightwads. You know, they're not. They're not.
I'm expecting that this, Tom Brady's coming to town. He's going to draw a lot of females from across the European nations.
Possibly. Yeah. But Bill, again, they're not playing in, like, Amsterdam. They're playing in London, you know?
Yeah, but isn't everything just like a train ride away over there in Europe?
Not really, man. Not really. Yeah, London, well, in the heart London of Europe, yeah. In the heart of Europe, like Germany, France, Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Belgium, all that, yeah.
But I'm not doing too good on this list so far, am I?
Well, you're making it sound like they're playing, you know, all over Europe for like a world tour, but they're playing in London. Fish and chips, fog, London fog.
Wait, all right, wait. I'm getting to my negatives.
Go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices. Oh yeah.
Kevin, a little late on the German.
Still with the Germans.
Hey, you said all of Europe. Whatever.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
All right, I'm still going on the benefits here.
All right, let's keep going with this list.
All right, they're playing in London, so they don't have to worry about any kind of English translation. That's a good point.
Okay, that's good.
All right, and they got Pippa Middleton over there. We don't have her here.
Pippa Middleton.
That's the Kate Middleton's sister. She's hot.
Okay. All right.
All right, so that's my last benefit, Pippa Middleton.
That's the last benefit?
Yeah, okay, she's somewhere in Europe. She's somewhere in London.
Let's go to... your cons.
All right. So it's a long flight. The Patriots, I mean, they had to fly to Seattle 2 weeks ago, and now they have to go to London. That's two really long flights.
Through the magic of the internet, want to take a guess? I just actually looked this up while you were blabbing away there with your list.
Yeah, what do you got?
All right, Boston to Seattle.
Yeah.
The distance versus Boston to London.
2,300 miles.
Well, it's virtually the same.
Oh.
Boston to London is 3,300 miles.
Okay.
Boston to Seattle is 3,100.
So that's two really long trips. From Boston to Seattle is probably the longest trip. Maybe Miami to Seattle is probably the only other longest in terms of distance.
Right.
But Boston to Seattle, you can't get much further than that.
Nope.
And now Boston to London. So that's rough. And then the Rams, they have to travel from the middle of the country.
Yep. Not good.
All right. So that's one negative. Everyone over there in Europe, they think football is soccer.
Right.
Well, it's not. Football is football. Soccer is soccer.
Okay.
You know how the Europeans call soccer football with a U. They spell it with a U.
Yeah, F-U-T. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're thinking over there. But football is football. Soccer is soccer.
Why would they name a sport football? It's a game where you kick with your feet. You know, it makes zero sense.
Yeah. All right, the next negative. No,
that went right over your head.
Yeah, it did.
All right, keep going.
The next negative. There's no home field advantage. Regardless of who's declared the home team, there's no home field advantage over there.
No, not at all.
All right. Next negative. They serve warm beer. Have you ever been to London?
I've been over to Europe, and warm beer is the norm, right?
Well, who the hell wants to drink a warm beer? You've never said to yourself, you know what? I can go for a really nice warm beer.
You're
no one's
insane.
Ever said that in the world. No one.
Insane.
Yeah, it's always, I can go for a nice cold beer. No one ever wants to have, I can go for, you know what I'm really in the mood for? A nice warm beer. Who the hell says that? No one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Although, I'm sorry, I'm just not getting it.
When it's cold and damp, though, maybe a warm beer isn't so bad after all. It's a all Guinness. Right. If it's a Guinness, I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with a warm Guinness, Bill.
Yeah, you can go wrong with anything warm and beer.
Guinness?
Does not go together. Warm beer does not go together.
Guinness and cold do not go well together. If you're in the Guinness.
I guess. Guinness might be the only one.
Okay. All right.
All right. Next negative. Have you ever seen someone from London? Have you ever looked at their teeth? They got horrible teeth. No dentists in London. That's what I found out in my research for this segment. They don't have any dentists over there. Can you believe
that?
What
kind of research did you do for this segment?
I checked on Wikipedia.
Of course.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. No, they don't have any dentists in London. So if you want to have a dental, any kind of dental emergency or surgery, you have to go somewhere else because there's no dentist in London. Everyone over there has bad teeth.
How many sound bites does Kevin have of Austin Powers?
I don't know, but it's great. I'm really enjoying it. I'm not going to stop with this.
It's almost like he's sitting right next to you, Bill.
All right. The final negative of playing in London, Coach Bill Belichick, he probably has his team on lockdown. I mean, how much fun do you think the team can really have while they're over there?
Not much.
You know, you got the trashy Euro chicks, you got Pippa Middleton, you got the warm beer, but your coach is Bill Belichick, you're probably locked down in the hotel all weekend.
Yeah, probably. Double-decker bus. Maybe they go on a little bus tour.
Yeah, maybe a bus tour. That sounds like fun. Double-decker
bus. It's not the greatest trip, man. I can't imagine. I'm sure, Kevin, if the players were to stroll through your office next week and you polled each one of them, I'm sure you would get a lot of negativity coming out of the trip. Can't imagine they like this trip, especially after a couple weeks after going to Seattle. That's not. That's
when
not
you think about the climate in Seattle and the climate in London, it's pretty much the same.
It's basically the same trip.
Wet, rainy.
Are you mad?
In another country, you know, Seattle's basically Canada. London is indeed another country. So, you know, maybe the Patriots are used to that.
I don't know. Let's just get this game under our belts. Get out of Dodge. Hopefully, it's a decent game. Patriots come home with a win. Put up a bunch of points for those fantasy people out there. You know, because and you know what? I mean, the Patriots. It's not as near long of a trip. The next three road games are they at the Jets? So that's a hop, skip, and a jump. Then they got to go down to Miami and down to Jacksonville. So that's it.
Yeah, that's
the
rough
trips. Yeah,
Miami and Jacksonville is actually nice though. Nice weather down there.
Yeah, the weather will be good in December. That's for sure. Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Just getting really started here on Football Nation. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio. I want to hear from you, 508-298-0398, why you think it's a good or a bad idea for the Patriots to go over and play a game in London. We'll be right back. Quick break, and we'll be back on Patriots.com Radio.
Every football fan has a voice at FootballNation.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Life is good when you're a Patriots fan.
Woo-wee!
It's even better when they're winning.
Brady, back to throw. Looks, fires, caught, touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
It's time for Bill and Todd to break down the Pats on Football Nation.
All right, big Patriots matchup against the St. Louis Rams. Game is taking place at Wembley Stadium in London, England. That's another country, if you didn't know already, Todd.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Very good, I believe they call it the United Kingdom.
Yes. Right? Yes, now, Mr. Geography. You know, this is right up your alley with all your geography issues and your math issues.
I know.
You know, you get the team that we cover here on Patriots.com radio actually going to a different country, different geography.
Yeah, you know, do you think the British people are, like, a little annoyed that the Patriots, the New England Patriots, you know, back from the Revolutionary War, they get a little pissed off that the Patriots are coming to play in their country?
Good point.
I wonder if that happens. Like, they're going to boycott the game. Yeah, oh, we don't want to see the Patriots.
I'm
we
sure
should own
really
America.
Up in arms,
yeah,
so.
Our guys are going over there being like, we're going to kill some redcoats while we're over there.
Yeah, right.
We're going to give you a history lesson.
No, all right, so let's break down this game.
Too much about it. Yeah, break it down, baby.
Let's break down this game. You got the St. Louis Rams sitting at 3-4. The New England Patriots are at 4-3. Rams are coming off a loss to the Packers. They lost 30-20. Aaron Rodgers had a really good game. The Patriots, they beat the Jets in overtime 29-26. You look at the Rams' offense, not very good. They're 26th in scoring, and they're only averaging about 18 points per game. When you compare that to the Patriots, they're number one in scoring, and they're averaging 31 points per game. I mean, just by that stat alone, Todd, you don't think the Rams can keep up with the Patriots this week, do you?
No, I would hope not. I will say this. You know, the Rams are improving. I know I've been kind of high on the Rams as a team, like on the rise. Not that they're going to be any threat.
Well, you like to call, you like Jeff Fisher.
I do. And I
rightfully so. He's a good coach.
We'll do a little breakdown for you, Bill.
All right.
And last year at this time, you just mentioned they're what are they offensively? 18 points per game?
Correct.
Last year, the team was 12 points per game, and that's through 16 games. Ooh. Which was worst in the league. And in yardage, they were 31st in the league. So they're moving up in that regard.
All right.
Last year, 31st in the league. And this year, they've moved up to 20th. So right. They're on the rise offensively.
Yeah. Right.
Defensively, similar. Last year, they finished 22nd in total defense.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's nothing to be too proud about.
No.
And this year, moving on up, the pass defense is 14th, rush defense is 11th.
All right.
And total defense right now puts them right in that same category. So they're improving, Bill. Now,
right. Getting
can
better.
They face, you know, can they hang with the Patriots offensively? Who knows? If you throw a few deep balls on the Patriots, you know, you can connect. Their secondary
right.
is terrible. Look what Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Against him last week. And we talked right. about this. Kerry Byrne of Cold Hard Football Facts actually brought it up. We were kind of snickering about the Jets offense. You know, he brought it up. He said, hey, yeah, the Jets offense isn't that great, but look at the Patriots secondary. They can't stop anybody. So, you know, if they don't get any pressure on Sam Bradford, you know, they have a bunch of no-name wide receivers kind of running around. But if they can get somebody deep, you never know. They might be able to hit a few big plays on the Patriots.
But you mentioned their no-name wide receivers. I mean, you have to think that even as bad as the Patriots secondary is, against this no-name receiver Rams, that the Patriots kind of have to show up this week and kind of prove that their secondary can make the bad teams still look bad. Instead of what they've been doing recently was making the bad passing attacks look pretty good.
Yeah, you would hope so. But they've had, you know, the last couple of weeks they've had a chance to prove themselves, and they didn't really come away with flying colors.
Right.
You know. So, you know, enough of this proving stuff. I think they're just trying to get away with a win. They got a half the season to try to fix whatever the heck is going on with our secondary. Because if their secondary plays like this, Bill, even in a down AFC, I don't think they're not going to get to the Super Bowl. They need to fix what's going on. They need to improve it somehow, improve that part of their defense. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble come playoff time.
All right. Now, when you think about the Patriots offense, do you think the Rams can shut them down? I mean, they're number one in scoring.
No, I don't think so. I think the Patriots' offense will be just fine this week. Their offense has been, you know, putting up some decent points. The last 4 weeks, 52 points, 31, 23, 29. So,
yeah.
You know, their offense has been just fine. They've been able to do it different ways. You know, Hernandez is back now. Gronk had a good game. The running game is there when they need it, it seems.
Right.
Except for in the fourth quarter when suddenly the running game just disappears.
Yeah, I don't know what happens there.
It's kind of strange. There's actually a pretty good article on footballnation.com about the Patriots' fourth quarter struggles. All sorts of tables and charts about, you know, what's going on there. And it's interesting. They kind of abandoned the run a little bit, and it's come back to haunt them. But they got to figure out that fourth quarter. But yeah, the offense is doing its job. That defense is the problem at the moment.
You mentioned the rushing game. You know, you expect the Patriots with Tom Brady to be very good when it comes to passing, and they are. 276 passing yards per game. That's good enough for fifth in the NFL. But how about their rushing stats? 149 rushing yards per game, which is also fifth in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive, but all that equates to a 4-3 record, Bill, which,
yeah,
I mean, let's be honest.
That's where the numbers don't add up.
No, I think at this point in the season, we kind of all expected them to be probably 5-2 at worst.
Right.
4-3, one game up on the rest of the division. That's amazing. Now, at least they were able to restore order. God knows what would have happened if the Jets pulled out that overtime win last week. I mean, you would have had some serious stuff
rioting
going on in the press. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine with the Jets in first place in the AFC?
That would have been terrible.
Of course, Jim Nance still thinks the Jets are in first place in the AFC East.
I think Jim Nance wanted that to happen.
Well, he probably did. So what do you think? I mean, what's your score prediction here in this game?
I'm very cautious to give a score prediction because every time I have given a score prediction on the Patriots, And I say, oh, they're going to win by 10 or double-digit points. I said it against the Ravens. They ended up losing. I said a double-digit victory against the Jets, and they ended up having to go to overtime and you know, won by 3 with a field goal.
All right, so you're just not going to make a prediction?
I don't want to jinx them. I'm big on jinxes this time of year. You know, Halloween's right around the corner. A lot of creepy stuff has been happening. So I'm very alert, very conscious of jinxes, and I don't want to jinx the Patriots this weekend.
Well, I'm not worried about jinxes. I think the Patriots get it done this week. I think that they pull out a 31-17 victory over the Rams. The Rams will hang around for a little bit. But, you know, the Rams, Bill, they just don't have any identity. I mean, what are they? On offense, what are they? On defense, what are they? What do they have to hang their hat on? I don't really see much of anything. And I think the Patriots have just too many weapons, and they'll get the job done here. There's no rivalry here. There's no, you know, the Jets obviously were sky high heading into this Patriots game. You're not going to have any of that with the Rams. The Rams are probably like, oh, my God, we got to go across the pond, play in London, and we've got to play the Patriots. You know, I mean, we talked about how the Patriots are probably a little annoyed going over there. Well, how about the Rams?
You know?
And this is a home game for the Rams. So
right.
They lose a home game for this. So I think they go over there. I think it's a pretty ho-hum game. Excuse me. And I think the Patriots pulled out. 31-17. There you go, Bill.
All right. You're twisting my arm with my prediction now. So now I want to give one. You said 31-17?
Yep.
I'm going to say 27-20. 27-20.
All right.
Is my prediction.
So they will not cover.
No, they're not going to cover.
It's a 7.5 point, I think, spread.
Is it 7.5?
I believe. That's the last one I saw.
Hmm.
When we did our picks today earlier, the day on Patriots.com radio, the majority of the writers, I'll say, picked them not to cover.
To not cover.
Yeah, so they think it's
going
to be
going
tight.
With that. Yeah, I think I'm going with that as well. But I can also see this game being like 42-10.
Hey, well, the good news for Patriots fans out there is Bill's been pretty much wrong every week on the margin of victory.
Right, yeah.
You know,
that's
you've
true.
Been saying like 1 week you were like 42-10 and it was close. So if you're thinking close, then it's probably going to be a blowout. So there you go.
So that's good news.
Good news for Patriots fans. Bill good predicts a close game, therefore it won't be a close game.
Exactly. There you go.
Kevin, what was your prediction? Did you have to give a score prediction yet?
I haven't, but I'd say somewhere along the lines of like I'll go 30-21.
30-21.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So we're all relatively in the same ballpark.
I think they're going to cover, but not by much. I don't think it's going to be a runaway. We'll put it that way.
Any scenario where they lose the game?
Oh, yeah. I can see them losing this game.
See, I don't see that situation happening. I can't see them losing this game.
I saw
it's the
them,
Rams.
I mean, I could see them. I picked them to lose against Baltimore. I could see them losing when we went to Seattle, and I could see them losing this game. But the one game that I was absolutely stunned was that Cardinals game. I thought there's no way they're going to lose that game. I thought it was going to be a laugher.
The Cardinals were flying high in the first month of the season.
What are they, three-game losing streak now? Crashing back to earth?
Exactly.
So
Patriots just caught them on a
for some reason, everyone thought coming into this year, like, you know, rightfully so. You know, the schedule is going to be a cakewalk because we have that NFC West, but the Patriots haven't beaten an NFC West team this year, so we'll see if they can do it in London.
Maybe
it takes going out of the country to do it.
Right. So they're right now they're 0-2 against the NFC West, which was supposedly one of the worst divisions in football at the start of the season. Lost to the Cardinals and lost to the Seahawks. They still have to play the Rams and the 49ers, which are arguably the best team in the NFC West.
Yeah,
so
it's the curse of the birds, Bill. You know, it's the Cardinals, it's the Ravens, it's the Seahawks. So we can't beat any team that's named after a bird.
Oh, very, very astute.
So we're playing a ram. So I like our. It's a land faring animal. It's not foul. So
right.
So I think we have a good shot at this week.
Not foul.
Yes.
I think
it's not
the
a foul.
Honestly, I think the you might have something there with the birds thing. I think the Eagles beat the Patriots in the preseason too.
Think, yeah, they did.
Wow. I got to
bust out my hawk screech.
You guys are the regular Sherlock Holmes. Oh, that's a London reference. Sherlock Holmes. You guys are good investigators. Right, and that's the...
That's just my bird noise.
Right, that applies to all bird... What you call them? Fowl? Fowl teams.
Yes, fowl.
Right.
I actually was... so last week, I forgot to tell you guys this. Last week, I met the Bowling Green mascot.
Uh-huh.
And they're the Falcons, but it was a female Falcon was their mascot. First time I've ever seen that.
Was it a sexy female Falcon?
No, but it was wearing like a little skirt. It was a very furry Falcon. So
ooh. I don't like furry.
But I had to take a picture of it. I'll have to show you guys sometime. But I had never seen like a blatantly female mascot, you know, on a Division I college football sideline. I hadn't seen that.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow.
Bowling Green Falcons. They had these like bright orange uniforms that, you know, reminded me of Halloween. They were very festive. They look like pumpkins running around.
Who did they play?
Played UMass, who plays all their home games here at the stadium.
Right. So I
get looped into babysitting a lot of those games, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. That must be exhilarating.
So, yeah, because especially since UMass has scored like 2 touchdowns the whole year. So
you go from watching the Patriots, the number one offense in the entire NFL, to watching the UMass. So I don't even
know
what they're...
I feel bad for them, though. I mean, I went to school there, and they're making that jump that UConn did where they're, you know, leaving 1AA, and, you know, this is their first year in Division I college football. So they're undersized, and their guys aren't athletic enough. And when you watch them go against these other teams, like we had Indiana in here, and Indiana's like, you know, a relatively poor Big Ten team.
Right.
But their line, all those guys are like, you know, 6'4", 330. And you're looking, and there are dudes on the UMass line like my size that are like 6'2", like 220 pounds.
Right.
And it was a bloodbath. Like the Indiana running back would run into the line and fall down, and you'd be like, oh, you know, good stop. But you'd realize the line of scrimmage had been pushed 12 yards down the field. So that's what we're stuck with for the next 3 or 4 years, unfortunately.
Only here on Football Nation, Bill, do you get the breakdown of Bowling Green UMass games.
All football, hey, all Todd, the time, Todd.
Todd loves college football, so I know he feels me on the college game.
I've watched more Bowling Green games than you would care to ever know.
You're a big Mac guy, Todd?
I watch
those. Love the Maction.
The Tuesday night Maction, baby.
I feel like all those Mac games that we see on ESPN are always like 65 to 47.
Yeah, that's why it's great.
That's why it's good. That's
right. Do you have a fantasy Mac league?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know all these guys. I knew who Ben Roethlisberger was 4 years before he was drafted, let's put it that way. Pretty pathetic.
Very impressive.
All football pathetic. All the time, baby. I watch every game on television.
That's what brings us together. We're all football geeks.
That's right. All right, Bill. How do we transition out of that?
Very easily. I say, all right, now it's time for the Football Nation Power Rankings. And then that's the transition for Kevin to cue up the music.
Get a little music going here.
We're
going
to go over our bottom 5 teams and our top 10 teams. We always like focusing on the negative first. I'm a very negative person when it comes to these power rankings. So let's start off with the bottom 5, Todd. Who do we have at number 28?
How about those Oakland Raiders?
Oh, they're terrible.
Yeah, they are pretty bad. I mean, what is worth watching with the Raiders this year?
Absolutely nothing. There are fans going crazy in the stands. Darren McFadden hasn't been doing anything. Carson Palmer is, you know, that ship has sailed a while ago. Denarius Moore and Darius Heyward-Bey could be exciting, but, you know, you got Carson Palmer throwing, like, underhand passes. They couldn't even beat the Jaguars by a reasonable margin.
Yeah, they took them to overtime. Now, Bill, here's the thing. If they beat the Chiefs this week, and the Chiefs might be somewhere else on this bottom 5.
Right.
So it's a very winnable game for the Raiders. If they win that game, they're 3-4.
Ugh.
How bad is the AFC?
It's just really so bad. It's all really, right. Really bad.
Enough on the Raiders. Let's move to number 29. Okay, this is a team that Bill Enright in the preseason predicted would go to the Super Bowl for the NFC, the Carolina Panthers, Bill. Explain yourself. Defend yourself.
You know, I was a big fan of Cam Newton as a rookie. I thought he was one of the most exciting players in the NFL. I thought he was going to change the way that teams played offense in this league. And what did I see? And what have I seen thus far in his second season? The guy's a bum this year. His offensive line is banged up. His defense can't stop anybody. They just lost John Beeson, their middle linebacker for the year. Their center and their tackle is out for the year. Cam Newton is going on these friggin' ridiculous raids after the game in these post-game press conferences, causing his general manager to get fired. He's wearing these ugly sweaters during these press conferences. The guy's sponsored by Under Armour, and he's wearing these like ridiculous sweaters like he's about to go onto the runway. I'm very upset with the Carolina Panthers. I'm not sure if you can pick up on my tone here, but very upset with the Panthers. Had them as my Super Bowl prediction, and now they're in the bottom 5 of the Football Nation Power Ranking.
How about that? On the same day, best dressed and worst dressed, huh?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I know, Bill. I know.
I mean, Cam Newton, he's making Bill Cosby look bad. Or look good, I should say. I mean, those Bill Cosby sweaters, right?
They are.
I mean, yeah, what is he doing?
As long as he doesn't spill Jell-O on him.
Oh, God.
Jell-O Bill, pops.
Oh. You know, we kind of saw this coming last week. I think on this very show we talked about how Cam Newton spent his bye week, right? He's playing video games.
Exactly.
What was he doing? Going to, like, Six Flags, amusement
parks.
Going
to hayrides, go-kart racing. Yeah,
he was bobbing for apples. He didn't have his nose in the playbook. He wasn't in the film room, that's for sure. Carolina Panthers stink. And guess what, Bill? They go to Chicago this week. I don't see it getting much better there. The Chicago defense is pretty rough right now.
Do they go to Chicago or Chicago at home? I think Chicago's on the road.
I think
no, you're right. Chicago is at
Chicago's
home.
At home.
They got to go to Chicago, man. They're staring 1-6 right in the face.
Yes, they
I benched
are.
Cam the Ham.
Yeah, I benched him as well in our fantasy league. Mm. All right, so the Panthers are 29. Jacksonville Jaguars are 30th. We just saw them lose to the Raiders in overtime.
And their best player's out for an extended period of time.
And not only is he out for a significant chunk of the season, but they're starting Blaine Gabbert. The guy has a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. Chad Henne is so bad, the Jacksonville Jaguars would rather put Blaine Gabbert under center with a torn labrum than have Chad Henne in the game. That's how bad he is.
My God. Poor Jaguar fans. All 10 of them out there, I'm sure they're – I mean, geez.
You'll be in L.A. in the next 2 years, so buckle up.
Yeah, they will. They have nothing going for them, man. And like I said, their best player, the only guy worth watching, Maurice Jones-Drew, poor guy's been stuck there in obscurity for years, and now he's done for a while. So not much going on there for Jacksonville. Let's move on to number 31, Bill. How about those Cleveland Browns?
You know, I like the Cleveland Browns. I really do. But until they start winning some more games, we can't move them out of the bottom five. I think they have a very young team. They got a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback in Brandon Weeden. A young rookie wide receiver in Josh Gordon, and a rookie running back in Trent Richardson. So the talent is there for the next couple of years for this team to kind of pick up some steam. But right now, it's still a learning process for all three of those guys. So they're going to remain in the bottom five probably for the rest of the year.
Interesting. They kind of did a little front office shuffle in the past week or so, right? With Mike Holmgren on his way out. Joe Banner from the Eagles assuming the position there. Interesting to see how he tries to kind of rebuild this franchise over the next couple of years. You know, I'll tell you what, Joe Banner with the Eagles was not high on running backs, so, you know, Trent Richardson's already in the stable, but look for them to really take a close look at Brandon Weeden. I know it's his first year, Bill, but he's an old guy.
Right. We're
going to really take a close look at him to see if he is truly the future. Once you have a front office shakeup like that, don't be surprised if they look quarterback again in the next upcoming draft.
Great point.
All right, so who's in the last place spot here? Who's number 32 in the Football Nation bottom five, Bill?
It's the Kansas City Chiefs, and you know what? We might have a shakeup at the number 32 spot if the Raiders lose to the Chiefs here in Week 8, but I don't think that's going to happen. Brady Quinn is now starting for the Kansas City Chiefs in place of Matt Castle. They're coming out of the bye. Coach Romeo Crennel said that Quinn is going to be the team starter. He doesn't want him looking over his shoulder thinking that Matt Castle is going to come back and take back the job. So right now, Brady Quinn will be under center for the Kansas City Chiefs. That can't be a good thing.
That is a really bad thing. Dwayne Bowe wants out of town. You know, Peyton Hills has been hurt most of the year. Tom Bahali had his issues off the field. All their you know, kind of big-name players having problems. They don't have any depth. They're 1-5. Coming off a bye week, maybe they can salvage part of the season. They got two big divisional games coming up against the Raiders at home, and then they go to San Diego. But not much to cheer about there if you're a Kansas City fan.
You know, how bad is the AFC? Four out of these five teams are all in the AFC.
Yeah, it's not a, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time in this show, but I know we were talking about the playoff picture, kind of an early look at the playoff picture, and the AFC, I mean, you take away the top couple teams, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, and it's very early, it's only October, but right now, if you're a Houston Texans fan, you got to be licking your chops, because every other team has major, major flaws right now. Long way to go. You know, a team like the Patriots can get on a roll and fix that secondary somehow. But right now, it's the Houston Texans and everyone else.
All right, so that was the bottom five. That was the glass half empty. Let's go to the top 10, glass half full. We'll start off with number 10. We got the Denver Broncos sitting pretty with Peyton Manning coming out of a bye. Well rested, taking on the Saints at home this week.
I love that game. That's a great Sunday night game.
I love that game, too.
That's a, you know, that's a exciting game that I'm sure NBC's thrilled to have. Drew Brees versus Peyton Manning. I'm looking forward to that one a lot. Yeah, Peyton Manning looks for real, man. I know he's kind of thrown his name in the hat for the MVP this year. I know it's a little early to be talking about that too, but you know the way he's playing, kind of turned around that franchise. He's got them in prime position, man. I know they're only 3-3 at the moment. I think they're 3-3, correct? Hey, Bill, off a bye week.
Yeah, Broncos 3-3.
Yeah, so they're only 3-3, and it seems like they're better than that, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like they're, you know, kind of the cream of the AFC West crop right now?
Well, certainly the AFC West. I mean, you're not exactly talking about the pick of the litter over there.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Patriots, though. I mean, you just when you talk about the Broncos, you just kind of talk about them as if they're the no-brainer in that division. Now, of course, they're really not. I mean, they're only 3-3. The Chargers are 3-3 as well, and you know, sadly, the Raiders are one game behind. So,
right.
But I like the Broncos. I think that they're a team on the rise.
I think all of Denver's losses came against really good teams. They lost to the Texans, they lost to the Falcons, and they lost to the Patriots.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, so, you know, they should be able to mosey their way through the easy games on their schedule, but it's those tough games. They're going to have to start winning those, especially if they want to make any noise in the playoffs.
All right, moving on to number 9, and this team took the biggest dip, or they fell down our rankings more than any other team this week, the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, you know, we talked about it last week, Bill. They're really a banged-up team. And
yes, they are.
They had that one game left before the bye week. You kind of got the sense they were trying to get to the bye week, and they just didn't show up in Houston, and they got pummeled. Houston was coming off the loss. It was a really tough spot for the Ravens to be in, and they got destroyed. So they got a couple weeks to lick their wounds here. I don't know how they're going to plug the holes, you know, on that defense. They got a lot of major, major holes to deal with. But right now, they're a team that's got to be a little bit worried. Pittsburgh is lurking. I know that they're a couple games behind them in the standings, Bill, but Pittsburgh's lurking now, and Pittsburgh is a team that could catch the Ravens this year.
Ravens lose Ray Lewis, but they got Terrell Suggs back, so at least that's one the silver lining for the defensive troubles.
That's correct. Moving on, Bill, what's at number 8? Who do we got?
We got the Minnesota Vikings, Todd. If one of the feel-good stories this year in the NFL. Love watching the Vikings play. They're a very young team, especially on defense. But you know what? Their defense is getting it done, and so is
Yep, the Minnesota Vikings get the Buccaneers this week. Actually, Thursday night, that is tonight, in just a couple hours, those Buccaneers face off against the Vikings. And the Vikings are 4-0 at home, so it should be interesting to see if they can keep that streak alive. And hey, they're 5-2, another win, 6-2, looking pretty good there in the NFC North. Looks like we lost Bill there, Kevin.
Yeah, we did for a sec. I'm working on it.
All right, well, I'll keep rolling here. At number 7, another NFC North powerhouse, the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, we've talked about it in recent weeks. We kind of had a feeling they were going to start rolling, and that's exactly what's happened. They've been able to string a couple of wins together after kind of looking at the season was really on the brink. And they were able to take down Houston. They beat the Rams. And now they've got a kind of a juicy part of the schedule coming up with Jacksonville. Arizona has to come to Lambeau. And Arizona's had a decent year, but I could easily see them falling apart. And before you know it, folks, the Packers could be 6-3 heading into their bye week, sitting pretty in a very rough and tumble NFC North.
When it all comes down to it, do you think I should reveal that number 6, the Chicago Bears, are number 6 team. But we have the Packers at 7, Bears at 6. When it's all said and done at the end of the year, are the Packers going to be above the Bears? Do you think the Bears offense can really kind of live up to what their defense has been doing for them? I think their defense is scoring more points than their offense is this year.
Yeah, I think what'll happen here is, you know, we've watched enough football over the years, Bill. What we're seeing right now with the Bears is a red-hot defense, opportunistic, getting a little bit lucky as well. But, hey, you know, you create your own luck in this game. So I think what's going to happen is the defense will cool off, and they're going to have to start putting some points together on offense. And to answer your question, I do think the Packers will rise to the top of this division when it's all said and done. But it'll be close, and as long as the Bears stay relatively healthy, I think they'll be in the mix.
All right, so the Bears were at 6. Number 5, the New England Patriots. Only because their record's 4-3, maybe they should be 5-2 at this point. They could be a little higher in our rankings, maybe above our number 4 team, but right now we're pretty confident with where they are sitting at number 5.
Yeah, but Bill, they've got a fatal flaw with that secondary, and we're going to keep harping on that. They
got
to fix that, man.
They had that same flaw last year, and they went to the Super Bowl.
They did. That is correct. But I think that, as again, our special guest last week, Kerry Byrne of Cold Hard Football Facts, mentioned, they were on a historic pace this year in ineptness from a secondary standpoint. So they need to just get it to be from terrible to mediocre. If they can get that secondary to be mediocre, you know, slightly below average, they'll be just
right.
Fine. But right now, that's not the case.
All right, so the Patriots are in at number 5. Number 4, the only undefeated team left in the NFL is the Atlanta Falcons, and they're not even in the top 3. We got the Falcons at number 4.
We're non-believers, Bill.
Big time.
And they haven't done anything to sway. They're a good team. They've got to go to Philadelphia this week, which will be an interesting test, both of the teams coming off of a bye week. Yeah, they're 6-0, and their offense is humming, but they squeak by in a lot of games, Bill, which is good. I mean, the good news is that Matt Ryan's been great in the clutch.
Right.
But the last 3 games, you know, they won by 2, they won by 7, and they won by 3. All close games against pretty poor teams. Carolina, Washington's okay, and Oakland. You know, they haven't really played a lot of amazing teams yet. Quite frankly, I'm looking at their schedule here, Bill. Other than Denver, which was a nice win,
yeah,
they haven't played anybody.
No,
so
I think if you add up all their opponents' wins right now compared to any other team in the NFL, the Falcons have had the easiest schedule thus far.
Yeah, I agree. They've been feasting on that AFC West. So
right, exactly.
You know, they're here at number 4, and if they can beat the Eagles, maybe they move up a notch. But we'll see what happens this week. They got the Eagles, Cowboys, Saints in the next 3 games.
That's tough. Could be 3 straight losses.
Could be. I think they'll probably go 1-2 in those 3 games. That's my prediction.
All right, number 3, we have the San Francisco 49ers. You know, very conservative offense. Their defense is lights out. Do we compare the Niners to the Chicago Bears, whereas their defense really carries this team?
Of course. But I think that, believe it or not, I trust the Niners' coaching staff and their offense a little bit more than I trust the Bears. I can't trust Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall. Sorry.
Right.
Can't do
right.
it. Alex Smith will make less mistakes. He's not as spectacular as Cutler, not as talented, but he makes less mistakes. He's surrounded by some pretty decent chess pieces with
right.
Vernon Davis, a bunch of good running backs led by Frank Gore.
Some, yeah.
You know, more than adequate wide receivers. They're a tough team, man, on offense. So they get the job done, and they're going to be in this top 3 probably the rest of the year. I mean, they're just one of those teams. I think they're built for the playoffs, Bill. I really do.
Absolutely agree, especially in that weak division over there in the NFC West. All right, number 2, the New York Giants. They survived the scare against NFC East division rivals, the Washington Redskins, this week. And once again, we saw Eli Manning drive down the field in the fourth quarter and get a touchdown for the game-winning go-ahead score.
Yeah, you know, anytime you win a game in the NFC East, I don't care how close it is, it's a win. And
right.
The Giants have won 3 in a row now. They took down – the most impressive, obviously, was when they went to San Francisco and destroyed the 49ers.
Right.
They've got a tough stretch here now. They got to go to Jerry's World in Dallas in that one of those 2 4 o'clock games on Sunday. And
yeah.
Then next week they get the Steelers at home. So it'll be an interesting couple of weeks there for the Giants. But right now the defending champs looking strong. As long as they make the playoffs, Bill, obviously they're a major, major threat. And when you're sitting there in 5-2, barring a collapse, and the Giants have collapsed before in the regular season.
Yes, they have.
But barring a collapse, you know, they're going to be a really tough out come January.
All right, and the number 1 team in our footballnation.com power rankings is the Houston Texans, who they can't win and they can't lose this week because they're on a bye.
Yeah, and man, but they won last week.
Big
My
time.
Goodness.
Big win.
Yeah, in the battle of the only 2 winning teams in the AFC, they manhandled the Baltimore Ravens 43-13. And, you know, a couple interesting games coming up looking at their schedule. They got a bye this week, as you mentioned, and they got the Bills at home. Then they go to Chicago. That's a pretty interesting game to me, Bill. The road trip to Chicago is a Sunday nighter. That's a
yeah.
pretty interesting game, in my opinion. Could be 6-3, could be a defensive slugfest, but that's actually a pretty good game.
All right, so we're looking forward to that one. Mark that one down in your calendar, Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. So that will wrap up the Football Nation Power Rankings. Number 10, the Denver Broncos. 9, Ravens. 8, Vikings. 7, Packers. 6, Bears. 5, Patriots. 4, the Atlanta Falcons. 3, the San Francisco 49ers. 2, the Giants. And number 1, the Houston Texans. So that was the Football Nation Power Rankings. Up next, we will give you an update on the current playoff picture, kind of go through the standings around the NFL, identify who the number one seeds are, the wild cards, who's in the hunt. That's all coming up next. Plus, we'll help you guys out with your fantasy football team. So get your questions ready and give us a call at 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You're listening to Bill and Todd. This is Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. A little Beatles in honor of the Patriots going to play over in London this weekend. Todd, are you a big are you a big Beatles fan?
I'm a Rolling Stones guy.
Rolling Stones guy. All right. Kevin, how about you?
I don't mind the Beatles. I'll give Todd some Rolling Stones next break.
All right.
Todd just hates everything I do.
Oh, that's not true.
I'm in his doghouse.
You are?
Well, playing the Beatles. I didn't know you hated the Beatles.
Oh, I don't hate the Beatles. I'm a Stones guy, man.
I should have done my research, or I should have done some research.
Yeah, and that big pre-production meeting, we should have talked about it.
That is true. You know, the daily call that we have, the daily conference call.
Yeah, you know, the call where we're all sitting around the table, and sometimes we bring Tom Brady in just to kind of check on things, make sure everything's cool.
Try to give him a few pointers, you know.
Yes, try to get some insight as to the game plan this week.
Warn him about the lack of dental work in London.
Oh, boy.
Everyone sucks but me.
Oh, that's okay, Tom. We're here for your support.
All right, what do we got next, Bill?
All right, I think we should, you know, it's week 8, Todd. Almost, you know, 50% of the season's already over. I think it's time, and we would be serving the fans well if we did an updated playoff picture.
All right, let's fly through it. What do we got?
All right, so let's start off with the AFC South. And the AFC South, not only are the Houston Texans going to win that division, but they're also the number one seed right now in the AFC.
Yeah, they're pretty much a no-brainer to be the one or the two seed, right? I mean, right now, sitting atop of everyone, the Ravens are next in record. Houston 6-1, Baltimore's 5-2, but I think we all agree Baltimore's going to have a hard time going 5-2 in their next seven games because of the injuries. They just got a lot to figure out there. I think Houston, they've got the schedule. They got that easy AFC South to navigate. I think they're looking at being the one or two seed no-brainer come January.
I mean, the Texans aren't losing the AFC South, right? We can all agree that they're going to win the AFC South this year.
Of course.
So they're pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot. It's just a matter of whether or not they can hold on to the number one seed.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, the Patriots could streak. You know, the Patriots really their only threat, honestly. I mean, I don't think the Ravens, again, maybe I'm too down on the Ravens. Maybe I'm overestimating these injuries. I don't know. But I don't really see another team catching the Texans except perhaps the Patriots if they get their act together.
Right. All right, speaking of the Ravens, AFC North, they're right now winning that division, as you mentioned, Todd, 5-2 record, and they also have the number two seed in the AFC.
I think the Steelers could catch them.
Yeah.
I really do. The Steelers are sitting there at 3-3, but, you know, they're more of a passing team now. This isn't a vintage Steelers team, but they get to play the Ravens twice still, Bill, so they haven't played each other yet.
Right.
They start off in Baltimore on November 18th, and then on December 2nd, only 2 weeks later, they play again. So you're going to be seeing them on prime time and in that major 4 o'clock CBS slot on a Sunday afternoon. So, you know, the Steelers sweep the Ravens. They're right there, baby.
All right, in the AFC East now, and I would never dream that I would say this sentence at the beginning of the year, but a very close race in the AFC East. Patriots are only 4-3. The rest of the division is pretty much either 3-3 or 3-4. Patriots right now are winning the division and the number three seed in the AFC.
All right, so if we were to end today, they'd be the three seed. They'd be playing a wild card game, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, you know, thank goodness the Patriots won last week to restore some order to that division because
we needed it.
Could you imagine if they were 3-4 and the Jets were 4-3? Oh. After seven games, that'd be hard to believe. So that didn't happen. Patriots... you know, I can't see them losing this division. I mean, I know it sounds like we just kind of assume the Patriots are going to win every week, and it hasn't been the case. They've been struggling. But, Bill, I mean, look at these other three teams in the division. I mean, can you really trust any of those other three teams to do anything when you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mark Sanchez, and Ryan Tannehill as the quarterbacks leading those teams?
Well, you got a big AFC East matchup this weekend with the Jets and the Dolphins playing each other.
Yeah, that is pretty
good. And the Dolphins, they had a bye last week, and they actually moved up in the AFC East standings because the Bills and the Jets both lost.
Well, the Patriots get the Rams this week. If they win that, they're 5-3. They get a bye week to clean things up a little bit. Then they have two home games against the Bills and Colts. You would hope that they would win those games. You never know. But, you know, they are very close to being 7-3, you know, if they're able to just get their act together. 7-3, and then they get the Jets and Miami on the road. You know, worse, they split those two. Now you're looking at 8-4, you know, sitting in pretty good position. Or any other team's going to be, you know, at 7-5 when they're 8-4 at that point? I don't think so. Not in this division.
Right. All right, so let's go on to the AFC West, where the Denver Broncos right now have the lead in that division. Very small lead, but they are the number four seed, and right now we have them winning the AFC West.
Yeah, and again, a lot of that has to do simply with the fact that Peyton Manning's our quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, he has the track record. He seems to be healthy. And, you know, let's be honest. He's still trying to establish a rapport with his receivers and with his team. He's only been there, you know, for this one-off season. So it's not – he's you know, you would imagine that he's going to be getting even better as they go down the stretch. The one caveat I'll throw into that, Bill, is Peyton Manning was always a dome quarterback.
He was.
He always was a dome quarterback.
I heard it gets cold there in Denver.
Well, that's kind of overrated. If you look at the temperatures, it can be cold there, but it's actually also kind of warm in Denver. Now, up in the mountains, you know, a couple hours away, it's freezing cold. Yeah. But he'll be outside in some elements for the majority of his games down the stretch for the first time in his career. Maybe that's an overrated, you know, theory that he might not do quite as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's kind of like the Patriots, man. You look at the Chargers. I don't trust North Turner. They, you know, you got an aging Antonio Gates there, and the Raiders and the Chiefs have no chance. So you got to figure the Broncos are going to win this division.
All right, so that does it for the AFC South, North, East, and West. Texans, Ravens, Patriots, Broncos, all of them are scheduled, projected to win their divisions. How about the wild card races? San Diego Chargers are number 5 seed, have the 5th seed, and the Miami Dolphins have the 6th seed right now? What the hell is going on out there?
So if it were to end today, the Chargers would be the 5 seed and Miami would be the 6th seed?
Right.
So the Patriots would play the Dolphins and the Broncos would play the Chargers?
Correct.
In the wild card?
Correct.
Wow. That's terrible.
Now,
the
Dolphins, in all fairness, they did have a bye last week. So some of these other teams that we're about to mention, they may have not already had their bye, so that's why the Dolphins are still at a 500 record with a 3-3 record.
Well, here's the deal. One of those two teams will get knocked out, obviously, and I would insert the Steelers in there, you know, before it's said and done.
Yeah.
The Steelers will be in there. The Ravens will probably sneak in as well. I think the Steelers are going to win the AFC North. I think the Ravens will get the wild card.
Okay.
So really, you're looking at we've kind of established, we think that there are 4 heavy favorites, 1 for each of the divisions. I think that either the Ravens or Steelers will occupy one of the wild card spots. Really, it's going to come down to who that last wild card team is. And,
all right, so let me throw some teams at you.
Yeah.
Ready? I'm going to throw 5 teams at you. You tell me which one you think is going to grab that last wild card spot, assuming the Baltimore Ravens or the Pittsburgh Steelers, whoever has that other wild card spot. All right, ready? Chargers, Jets, Colts, Titans. Chargers, Jets, Colts, Titans, Dolphins. That's 5. Because right now, Todd, that's who's in the standings for the AFC.
That is terrible. That
Chargers, Jets, Dolphins, Colts, Titans. That's who is fighting for that last wild card spot in the AFC. How good is the AFC this year? I'll tell you how good it is. The Tennessee Titans might make the wild card spot. The Miami Dolphins with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach might make that last wild card spot in the AFC.
Well, hey, you didn't mention the Colts. The Colts are at 500 right now.
Yeah, I said the Colts. Dolphins, Colts, Chargers, Jets, Titans.
All right. Yeah. I have no answer for you, man. I mean, there's a million teams that could sneak into that last spot. Whoever the 3 seed is, you would think would have a pretty manageable wild card game.
Right.
You know, it's early. It's very early to be talking about this. But, whoever gets that 6 seed is going to be a pretty mediocre team. It'll probably be an 8-8 or 9-7 team.
All right, let's go to the NFC. Right now, we mentioned Falcons. They're 6-0. They have the number 1 seed in the NFC, and they also have the division crown, in the NFC South. The NFC North is right now controlled by the Bears, who have the number 2 seed. The NFC East, the Giants are locked in there with the number 3 seed. And then the NFC West, controlled by the San Francisco 49ers with the number 4 seed. And then the 2 wild card spots, both NFC North teams as it stands right now. Minnesota Vikings would be the number 5 slot, and number 6 would be the Green Bay Packers.
Interesting.
The NFC is going to shake things up here in the second half of the season.
Well, this is going to be as kind of as boring as the AFC is going to be.
Yeah.
With the only real interest being, can the Steelers catch the Ravens and who's going to, you know, what lucky team's going to get into that 6th wild card spot. NFC is great. I mean, this is high drama. Now, the Falcons have wrapped up their division. I mean, they are 4 games ahead of the Saints right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Falcons are going to win the NFC South.
Okay.
I think even though they're only 1 up on the Cardinals and Seahawks, the Niners are going to win the NFC West. I can't see them not winning it, right?
Would you
agree with that?
Totally.
Okay. So those 2 teams are in. The NFC North is going to be, I think it's going to be the most fun of any division for the rest of the way. You know, you got
the
Bears,
North.
Vikings, and Packers duking it out. I think that's going to be outstanding football to watch.
I think you're right in the fact that the Packers and the Bears are going to have a really tough chase the rest of the year, and throw in the Vikings there too. But to me, the NFC East is always the most competitive. Cowboys, Vikings, Giants. I still think it's a toss-up for whoever wins that division. I kind of feel like the Packers, even though they're not there yet, are going to win that division.
Yep.
But the NFC East, to me, it's still a major question mark.
How can you not say the Giants are the heavy favorite to win that?
I just can't.
The Eagles are in shambles. Dallas is, they've been nothing, they've been 20 years. And the Redskins are really exciting with RG3, but, you know, they're not winning a lot of games. Their defense is one of the worst in the history of the NFL. So, you know, the Giants are the defending champs. I think that the Giants win this division.
Okay.
They might not be spectacular 13-3 record or anything. They might be,
yeah,
you know, 11-5 or whatever. But I just don't see the, I mean, unless the Eagles made some serious, you know, they fired their defensive coordinator and brought in Todd Bowles. Unless he turns that defense around and Mike Vick suddenly stops turning the ball over, and they plug those offensive line holes, I don't see the Eagles as being a major, major threat to win the division. Now, they might sneak in a wild card, perhaps, if they can get on a roll. But I guess what I'm saying is that NFC North, there's the potential for three teams to make the playoffs in the NFC North. I think
right.
The NFC East, I only think one team's probably going to make it right now, if I had to guess, and that would be the Giants.
All right, so let's, for the sake of argument, the Bears, let's say for the sake of argument, the Packers win the NFC North.
Okay.
The Bears and the Vikings get the wild card spot. That means teams like the Cardinals started off really hot. One of the, and what do they start, 4-0? The Cardinals, the Seahawks, Eagles, Cowboys are not making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
Okay. So three NFC North teams. Keep an eye on the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that that's possible. It's also very possible the Vikings, you know, the season falls out from under the Vikings as well. You know, that's the one team that I'd be a little worried about. But they're 5-2, man. They've got off to a nice start. They're undefeated in that dome. Those dome, the games they play in that dome are very difficult.
Right.
And right now they're just playing a lot better than the Eagles or Dallas. So.
All right. Very interesting playoff picture. We'll continue to update you on the playoffs over the next couple weeks as things get a little bit more interesting. Hopefully the AFC kind of picks things up as we're moving on to the second half of the 2012 NFL season. Because right now, the NFC, that's where all the action is, as you mentioned earlier, Todd.
Yeah.
I think since we did the playoff picture, I think now is a good time to move over to some fantasy football coverage.
Ooh.
The champ is here!
Here's a dose of fantasy football from FFChamps.com.
The champ is here!
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. We actually already have a caller on the line, Todd. I believe his name is pronounced Olivier. Is that correct? Olivier in Virginia? What's going on?
That is correct, Bill. Congratulations on the pronunciation.
Oh, wow. Where is this accent from? Because that's not from Virginia, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's true. It's from the south of Virginia.
The south of Virginia.
Just kidding. I'm Italian.
Oh, Italian. Yes. My paisano, the Italiano.
Yes, and I wanted to know, I know you're very good in geography. So
I'm amazing in geography.
Yes, I wanted to know if you knew the capital of Belgium.
The capital of Belgium is Amsterdam?
Start with a B.
Starts with a B?
Yes.
B-R-U.
Very good, very
Brussels,
good.
Brussels, Brussels.
Very good, excellent. So you see you're making some progress.
All right. I like the geography lesson. Now let me help give you a fantasy football lesson. What do you got for us today?
So I started this year with the Gridiron ESPN Championship. It's a different fantasy, but I have $50 million to spend on a weekly basis, and
right.
Basically the value of the players go up and down depending on their
performances.
Their performance on a weekly basis. So
right.
You know, I've been listening to the pillars of your organization
right.
and of your philosophy.
Yeah.
And so here is what I have, and I wanted to get your feedback. So I'm looking for, obviously, for a matchup. I have two quarterbacks. I have chosen Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning because I think those guys are probably going to have a great day.
Definitely.
I was going to get Drew Brees, but he's too expensive, so I'm kind of stuck with those two guys.
Okay.
And I hope that, you know, this is pretty good for fantasy points. I'm not sure what you thought, but in terms of running back, I have Matt Forte and Darren Sproles.
Okay.
And for wide receivers, I have James Jones and Lance Moore. And for tight end, I have Dustin Keller, and for the kicker, Greg Legatron.
Greg Zuerlein, right. Yeah. I like that name, Legatron.
And then I have a bad defense because I can't buy anything else. I have the Indiana Colts, but I'm not betting on those guys. So I was just wondering if you had any other recommendations for any other players, giving the matchups.
Sure. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you have a certain amount, do you have a dollar amount to spend this week, or is this $50 million all season long?
No, just for the week. 50 mil a week.
All right. I think instead of playing Matt Forte,
yeah,
I bet Willis McGahee is a lot cheaper than he is. Am I correct in that thinking?
I don't think so. I think he's higher.
No.
Yeah.
McGahee over Forte? McGahee's more expensive than Forte is this week?
I would have to check. I thought he was, but yes, I think he is. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, he is.
See,
because I was going to take him because I know that
The Saints suck when it comes to stopping the run.
Exactly. I heard what you said on the first podcast of the week, and I listened to you guys religiously.
Oh, thanks. We love that.
Of my wife.
Oh. Oh, we love that. All right, so Forte was relatively inexpensive this week. I mean, he has a good matchup, taking on the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. He's number four on the FFCPI, our weekly performance rankings at FFChamps.com. I like Darren Sproles as well, but I'm a little worried about your receiver, so I was trying to free up some cap space so you can save a little bit more money on the running backs and get some better receivers because Lance Moore and James Jones, I'm not totally convinced they're going to have a great game this week. I do like Lance Moore because that game, Todd, you love this game. The Broncos and the Saints, a lot of offensive explosions, a lot of scoring in that game. So Lance Moore could hit or miss. But I'd rather see you get, like, a more consistent guy this week.
Sidney Rice, maybe?
No.
No, it's even
worse. Not very consistent.
What about Randall Cobb?
Yes. Love Randall Cobb.
Well, he already
love
has James
Randall
Jones.
Cobb this week.
He already has
oh,
James
he already
Jones.
Has James Jones.
So are you saying upgrade from Jones to Cobb?
Yeah.
Yes, upgrade from Jones to Cobb.
Okay.
And then find someone else other than Lance Moore. What about a guy like Miles Austin?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I had this one initially, but Antonio Brown is too expensive. Oh, actually, yeah, I could get him. I could get him, yeah.
All right.
Against
lock
the Redskins,
Antonio Brown.
Bro.
Yeah.
Against the Redskins. He has to score in a month. He is due to score. They're going to put up over 30 points against the Redskins.
You think
so?
Okay.
Absolutely. Redskins, one of the worst teams. Actually, I think they are the worst team when it comes to the amount
They're
of
terrible.
Points that they give up to opposing
baby.
Wide receivers.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
I didn't really choose Antonio Brown because I thought that having Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown could be like, you know, a quarterback and a wide receiver, and I'm thinking of spreading the wealth, you know, and do like
good point,
in the stock
but
market. But
I think if you're going to do that, this against the Redskins, that's the team to do it against.
Really?
They can't
yeah,
stop
agree.
Anyone.
Totally agree.
But I agree with your thinking. We talk about diversifying when we can.
Yep.
But man, if you're gonna go all in against any defense, you want to do it against the Redskins.
Absolutely.
Okay. So would you take, for defense, would you take the Saints, the Colts, the Raiders, or the Titans? That's my odds. These are my
Saints, Colts, Raiders, or Titans.
Yeah.
Saints, Colts, Raiders. I like the Raiders. Brady
really?
Going up against Brady Quinn.
That
a couple
true.
Sacks against him. Maybe you get a nice punt return from Denarius Moore or someone like that. Yeah.
Could be true. Okay. Well, this conversation has been very enlightening. I appreciate your help and your support.
Bill is good at enlightening people.
I am very good at that, yeah.
I know.
Well, Olivier, I appreciate your geography lesson. Hopefully you can win this ESPN Gridiron Challenge, and you can call back any week, my paisan. We love hearing from you. Got a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you, paisano. I will do that next week. Take care,
all right.
guys.
Ciao.
Thank you. Ciao.
Ciao. I've always wanted to say ciao to someone, Todd, and I thought it was very fitting considering he was Italian.
You know, the deeper we get into the season, the more international flavor.
We had a guy from Australia to call on Tuesday. We have
London.
Yet to hear this guy from, where was he from? Sweden or somewhere, Denmark, something like that. Yeah, we had a guy from London call, guy from Australia call, Italian guy call today, but I'm still waiting to hear. I wanted something like really exotic, like give me like a South African dude or something like that.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm sure if someone's listening out there, they're dialing it as we speak.
508-298-0398 is the number to reach us. We're getting a lot of emails, webradio@patriots.com. Our guy Higgins wants to know, Todd, which wide receiver and which flex he should start. Now, it's a non-PPR league. He's got Brandon Gibson, Kenny Britt, Santana Moss, and Steve Smith. Who do you like out of those guys? Only one wide receiver.
I guess Steve Smith, but I don't really like him.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Steve Smith. He's really the only household name
Kenny
out of that brunch.
Against the Colts.
You know, I've been watching the Titans on the game rewind, and Matt Hasselbeck is targeting Kendall Wright and Nate Washington and Jared Cook a lot the last couple games. Kenny Britt saw some action, but he had the case of the dropsies against the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I'm kind of shying away from Kenny Britt. I was high on him in the beginning of the year. Now I'm starting to shy away from him a little bit. I like Steve Smith. I think you made the right call there.
Steve Smith, who has yet to find the end zone.
Yeah, that's very alarming.
It's very, you know, he started off the year with 200-plus yard games.
Right.
And it's
things
just
were looking
been,
good.
Yeah. I mean, he had seven catches for 83 yards in their last game against Dallas. And he is healthy, which is a plus because he's never healthy.
Yeah.
He's due. Not in love with his options there, but I guess I would go Steve Smith. Roll with the veteran.
Now, for his flex, you can also use any of those wide receivers we just mentioned, Gibson, Britt, or Santana Moss, and then also Darren Sproles. Or Daryl Richardson. I think it's Sproles. No-brainer.
That's a no-brainer. Yeah. Even if it's not PPR, like you said, Sproles, and look at the matchup, should be a lot of points. And again, Sproles, this guy's due, man.
He scored last week.
Yeah, he scored 3 different weeks, and in a different week he had over 100 yards receiving. So he's had 4 decent games out of 6.
Yeah.
He hasn't had that explosive game yet. He's not racking up tons of yards.
Right.
But, you know, you would think that the Broncos are going to score in the 30s in this game. The Saints are going to have to score that much to keep up. So Sproles should be a big part of the offense, you would hope.
All right, next question we're getting at webradiopatriots.com. Cole from Waterloo wants to know, he's having a little debate about his quarterbacks, Todd. Matt Ryan going up against the Philadelphia Eagles or Andrew Luck, the rookie from the Colts, taking on the Tennessee Titans.
All right. This is going to bring up an interesting sidebar discussion.
Yes.
Okay. Have you looked at the weather yet for this weekend?
I have not. Although I've heard
yes.
the I surf. So I'm a big surfer. So yes. I check out the surf reports. And I have seen a hurricane is starting to come up the East Coast.
That's not good. I want to go fishing on Saturday with my.
No, fishing's supposed to be great because all the fish are going to wash up on shore. You don't even have to cast
a
line.
I'm talking about going out like 30, 40 miles.
Oh, lots of luck with that.
Tuna fishing.
Nah, yeah, I wouldn't suggest doing that. You're going to be like the perfect storm. I'm going to have to come out
You're
and save you in my helicopter.
Yeah, Bill's going to have to paddle out on his surfboard and save me.
Yeah, you know what? The waves are going to be so big this week, they might push me all the way up to where you are.
It's no good.
Kevin, you might wind up going to England after all.
That's true. I could end up over there.
I mean, if you get stuck in that storm, you might just get washed all the way across the pond.
I'm originally from Plymouth, so I could just hop on the Mayflower and, head back.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be in a boat this weekend. Surfing is all right. I'm only going to be like,
I thought it wasn't supposed 100 yards. I thought it wasn't supposed to come until like Tuesday.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. For the sake of our, let's get back to the task at hand here, which is helping people win their fantasy games.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Sorry.
The emailer was asking about Matt Ryan versus Andrew Luck. And
yeah, Cole under from
normal circumstances, and I don't want to go too overboard with this, but Matt Ryan's the play, hands down, Matt Ryan. However, they're calling for a very rainy day in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Maybe it's just a regular shower, and that's not a big deal. But if they're calling for wind, and I don't know that yet, just keep an eye on that, because if they're calling for crazy winds from this hurricane, then that changes things. I've always said, Bill, in the world of fantasy football, I never worry too much about a little snow or a little rain. I worry about the wind.
Right.
Wind is the thing. And keep an eye on that. And if it is crazy wind swirling throughout Lincoln Financial Field, then I would go Luck, and I would feel pretty good about having Luck as another option. But all things considered equal, Matt Ryan's the play.
What is it? Hurricane Susie? Slappy? Sandy? Sandy. Hurricane Sandy.
Hurricane Slappy? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Hurricane Sandy.
You should name the hurricanes, Bill.
I wish I could name hurricanes. That would be an awesome job. Hurricane Brutus. Hurricane... I don't know. I stopped after Brutus.
Hurricane Bill.
Hurricane? Nah, that's not as fun. I want like...
Everyone would be Hurricane Bill.
I want like really scary hurricane names. Hurricane Brutus. Hurricane Mayhem. Hurricane Chaos. That's what the hurricane name
You could name one Satan.
Hurricane Satan.
Oh, God. Do we have any more emails, Bill?
Yeah, a lot more emails.
Save us.
All right, a lot more emails. Next email is from Jeff Kuhn. Guy emails in every week. A really dedicated, loyal listener to Football Nation here on Patriots.com radio. He was offered Rob Gronkowski for Doug Martin in a PPR league, Todd. If he accepts this trade, his only two running backs are Jamaal Charles and Ryan Matthews. So Doug Martin, very solid flex play. We talk about him a lot on this show, the rookie for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But does he go after the number one tight end in the league right now in terms of fantasy football points?
Is he playing Doug Martin in his flex now, and he'd be replacing the flex play with Gronk? Is that what he's doing?
You know, I don't have all that information from our friend C-Dog.
Okay. On paper, I would do the trade.
Okay.
PPR league, yes, I would do
it. All right, PPR league, you would do it. All right.
Yep.
Let's move on to Al in Connecticut. He was fortunate enough to draft Calvin Johnson late in round one. He's been mildly disappointed with him thus far, and rightfully so. He's only has one touchdown this year, although he is projected to finish with over 100 receptions and fifth this year in yards, but no touchdowns. So he wants to know what can he get for him in return. I don't think now is the right time to be selling Calvin Johnson. In fact, I want to be buying Calvin Johnson. You buy low, sell high.
Totally agree. We talked about this on the Tuesday Fantasy Football Champ show. Now, you always want to trade from a position of strength. And right now, if you have Megatron, you just got to wait, got to wait it out. And personally, I would just keep him the whole year. However, if you're really set on trying to ship him off to one of your rivals, wait till he has a good game. Don't do it now. His value will not be lower than it is right now. Well, it could be lower after Seattle. Seattle's got a pretty good defense.
Yeah,
but you don't want to trade when you're in a position of weakness. You always want to be in a position of strength, Bill.
That's right.
So don't trade him now. I wouldn't trade him now.
All right, we caught up on all our emails. We'll still take your phone calls in the next segment, 508-298-0398. Or, hey, if you're listening to the show on demand, you're not listening to it live, you're listening in on the podcast via iTunes or on Patriots.com, what may have you, you can tweet us your fantasy football questions at FFChamps. We'll be happy to help you guys set your lineups for Week 8. Bill and Todd, we got to take a quick break here on Football Nation. You're listening to Patriots.com radio. We'll be right back with the rest of our Week 8 NFL preview.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to Football Nation. My co-host Todd requested a Rolling Stones song. Todd, were you satisfied with Kevin, our producer's selection?
Absolutely, buddy. That was a good one, my friend.
You like that one?
Yeah, man. I'm trying to bring a little British flavor to the show with the Patriots
feels good.
Going overseas.
Yeah.
Right? And last
That's one
segment,
of my favorites, too.
I like that.
Is it?
That's a good intro. Smooth, smooth stuff from the Stones. I'm a Stones guy, not a Beatles guy, Bill.
Well, I mean, I'm not exactly a.
Groovy, baby.
I wouldn't say I'm a huge Beatles fan or a huge Rolling Stones fan. But if I had to pick one CD to take with me somewhere, and it was only between the two, I would probably go with a Beatles record.
Really?
Yeah. Probably.
Shocking.
I like. Really?
No,
I mean, if I had my choice of music, it would be obviously a hip hop, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Notorious B.I.G., something like that.
Obviously.
You know, I'm a huge
obviously.
Rap lover. But if I only had to choose between the Beatles or Rolling Stones, I think I'd go Beatles.
Stones.
All right.
Sorry.
Kevin,
you're
the deciding factor here.
I got to go Stones.
Oh. FML.
The Beatles are too, like, I don't know. They're not heavy enough for me.
Ah, okay. All right. Beatles are, like, a little bit too hippie.
They're a little too, like, sunshine and flowers everywhere. No, I'm not into that.
All right.
It's like a little kids band,
kind of.
Like Sesame Street. The Stones have kind of. They can go hard when they need to.
Yeah.
Right.
They have an edge.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
All right. So hopefully I won't get stuck in a road trip with you guys anywhere, because it seems like you'll be selecting the music over my tastes.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah,
we're
could
not.
Just, you know, we could rendezvous in like New York City and just take a trip across country, road trip.
I'd be sitting there with my iPod on, just not listening to
your
music.
You could just sit there in the passenger seat in your drag.
Yeah.
Hey, when the Patriots go to South Beach, we'll all drive down together. We'll drive down.
I'm down for that trip.
That's actually a really fun. I've actually made that drive from Boston all the way down there and gone to the Dolphins game. It's a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
I did it with three guys, and we did it right after we graduated from college. We did it when the Patriots played the Dolphins. It was a blowout. It was like a 49-24 game or something like that. And it was actually a lot of fun. We stayed appropriately on Collins Ave down there in South Beach.
Oh, your last name. Very nice.
So it was easy when you were stumbling home drunk every night. Oh, what street are we on? And I
could
remember it, you know?
Yeah.
We stayed 3 nights, 4 days, which is about all we could stomach, because the last call was until like 6 a.m.
See, yeah, exactly. You bring up a great point there, Kevin. Here's my problem with trying to go to a game at Miami. If I take a road trip down to Miami for a football game, chances are I'm not going to make it to the game on Sunday. Because once I'm out on Friday night and once I'm out on Saturday night, I don't know if I'm going to be able to wake up at 1 o'clock Eastern time and make it to a football game.
Well,
it's a valid point.
That's a good point.
Self-control, Bill. Self-control.
Self-control in Miami? That's like saying... self-control in Vegas.
What are those? I'm gonna blank on the name. Those drinks with the like mint in it, and the Bacardi. Oh, we were drinking them.
I felt
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Mojito.
Mojito. Yeah, right.
I felt too fruity walking around with one of those.
Mojitos are good. Summertime, very refreshing drink.
We got out of, so we drove my buddy's like Ford F-150 and it had like salt all over it, you know, from
the winter.
Yeah. So we drive it down and we get out and it's like myself and three other guys and we get out of the truck and we're stretching. And the first thing we see is like this guy wearing capris and like a woman's blouse tank top.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenidos a Miami.
He was walking a chihuahua and the chihuahua was fully dressed and had sunglasses.
Yeah, there you go.
And we were like, oh, my God, we're not in Boston anymore.
No, you're not.
I want to go home. But it was a great time.
And then you saw the beach and the beautiful women.
Yeah,
and
the women will make you want to stay. I'm
exactly.
with you on that one.
Yeah, the women are going to make me not want to go to the football game is what I'm trying to tell you.
There were plenty of hot women at the football game, though, too, to be fair.
They're in jerseys. You have the opportunity to be at a beach with thong bikinis surrounding.
That's true.
You.
But the women down there, like when you go to the Dolphins games, they're going to be a lot more attractive than the women that you see wearing, you know, Rob Gronkowski jerseys at Patriots games. I'll tell you that much. The woman in section 333 in the Vince Wilfork jersey that fills it out swimmingly. You know, you don't want any part
God.
Of that. Yeah, I hear it.
Kevin, you just put down half our audience, I think.
It's all right.
It's all good.
We have a few attractive ladies that listen to this show. That actually one that actually came in and visited Patriots.com radio once.
Well, it would be great if they called in once in a while. I've been patiently waiting to talk to these luscious female audience members.
Luscious.
Maybe that's their cue to call in next week, 508-298-0398. Bill and Todd, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Bill and
Eastern
Todd
Standard
Love
Time.
Connection.
There you go.
Are we going to do game previews or what?
We are going to do game previews. Cue up the NFL Films music. Let's hear it, baby. All right, Todd. Thursday night matchup, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Minnesota Vikings. By the time you're listening to the show, if you're not listening to it live, this game has already happened. We're thinking the Minnesota Vikings win this one, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be closer than you think, though. I think that Tampa Bay's actually got they've kind of found a passing game, and it's going to be tough to take that passing game that they've had the last couple weeks and into that dome and get the job done. I think the Vikings, Adrian Peterson, man, he's looking good. Amazing recovery by Adrian Peterson, by the way. We haven't talked enough about him.
Half man, half machine.
He's amazing. So I'm going to give the edge to the Vikings tonight.
All right, moving on to Sunday's game. We got the Carolina Panthers, who we are all very upset with, especially me. They were my Super Bowl prediction, taking on the Chicago Bears, who their defense right now, playing best in the league. They are lights out.
Yeah, you've got to go with the Bears, right? I mean, they're red hot, so ride them while they're hot. And there's not much else to say. Cam Newton's a mess. The offense is a mess. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. You know what? Cam Newton's a better passer than you think. They should just let him sling it. Get him back in the pocket and sling it. They're trying all this option stuff, all this college-looking stuff. Just
not
let
working.
Him throw the rock.
I hear you. All right, moving on. San Diego Chargers taking on the Cleveland Browns. Not a whole lot to get excited about this one.
You know what? I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns.
Good for you.
They're at home, and they're 1-6. They're not as bad as their record indicates.
Right.
And
you hate
done.
Norv Turner.
I basically bet against Norv Turner every week. So, yes,
all right, I hear you.
The Browns at home.
All right, how about the Seattle Seahawks taking on the struggling Detroit Lions up there in Michigan?
I can see this one going either way. It's kind of hard to pick the Lions right now, the way Stafford looks. So
right.
I'm going to go with Seattle. But, man, the Lions.
I think the Lions turn it on in week 8. I think Stafford and Calvin Johnson connect for at least 2 touchdowns this week. That's my bold prediction of the week. Calvin Johnson gets 2 touchdowns this week, both of them coming from Matthew Stafford. Let's go over to the New England Patriots and the St. Louis Rams. We were talking about this game all show long. Obviously, it's taking place in London at Wembley Stadium. You think the Patriots roll over the Rams?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. My prediction was 31-17.
All right.
Patriots have too many weapons. The Rams will hang in there for a little while. Jeff Frisch will have them fired up in that first half. But then with those British people sitting on their hands and the warm beer in the stands,
yeah.
it won't be quite as rowdy as a game of in the St. Louis in the Dome. So I think that the Rams will fall apart in the second half. Patriots pull together and win the game.
All right, AFC East matchup with the Miami Dolphins, who are in second place right now in the AFC East, taking on the New York Jets in New York or in New Jersey.
Honestly, this is a coin flip for me. I have no idea who to pick. I'm going to just go with the home team of the Jets.
Jets won in overtime the first meeting of the season.
Yeah, They're at home. I'll just take the Jets. I don't like either team. How about you?
I think Miami's going to come into town with an upset coming off that bye. Ryan Tannehill, I think he's going to start stepping it up over the second half of the season. Moving on to the Dirty Bird game, the Battle of the Birds, as we're calling it at footballnation.com. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, Todd, I know you know about this stat. Andy Reid, I think he's 13-0 when coming off a bye. Eagles had a bye in Week 7. Now they're playing the undefeated Falcons here in Week 8.
Yeah, I'm going to ride the Eagles here. You know,
okay.
You can't go against Andy Reid with that bye week. They're at home.
Right.
You and I are not believers in the Falcons.
No.
I think that this game's close. And I think the Falcons have been pulling out a lot of games in the end. This time they don't get the job done. I'm going to go with the Eagles here, but keep an eye on the weather.
All right, keep an eye on the weather. Hurricane Slappy's coming to town. Washington Redskins taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Todd. One of our favorite players, RG3, is taking on Big Ben Roethlisberger in this one.
I like this game. The Redskins are fun to watch. You know?
They absolutely are.
They're an entertaining team because they can put up the points and they surrender points. This game is in Pittsburgh. I have a feeling that Pittsburgh is going to go streaking here for the next couple of weeks, win maybe Ooh. Four out of the next five, something like that. Catch those Baltimore Ravens. They get the job done here.
All right, next game, Green Bay Packers are hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars up in Lambeau Field. This one's a no contest.
Packers, move on.
All right, Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans going at it in an AFC South battle.
Interesting game. You know, here's why this is interesting. And you might laugh until you put some thought into it, Bill. But we talked about, we did the playoff picture, right?
Yeah.
And right
this
now.
This game has playoff implications.
It really does. Because think about it. If the Colts win this game, and they can certainly win this game.
Yeah.
It's in Tennessee, but you know,
right.
It's Tennessee. If the Colts win, they're 4-3.
Yeah.
Think about that. If Tennessee wins, they're 4-4. And
right.
We talked about that wide open race for that number 6 spot in the AFC. You're pretty much going to have to win 8 or 9 games to get there, probably.
Right.
This is a big game. I'm gonna go with the home team, the Titans. The Colts won last week. You know, the Colts are still a young team. Andrew Luck. I don't know if they're going to be able to string together a couple wins in a row. Kind of a toss-up game. I'm going to go with the Titans.
All right. I like the Colts in this one. You have one of the youngest quarterbacks in the NFL playing against one of the oldest quarterbacks in the NFL with Andrew Luck playing against Matt Hasselbeck. So I'm going to take the Colts in that one, Todd.
Okay. I hope you're right. I like the Colts.
All right. So now that was it for the 1 o'clock games. The NFL Scheduling Committee, we've been blasting them all show long. That was it for the 1 o'clock games. Now we're moving ahead to the 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time games where the Oakland Raiders are traveling to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs.
Oh, boy. Not a great game, Bill.
which game's worse, okay?
Yeah.
Which game's worse, the Oakland Raiders versus the Kansas City Chiefs or the San Diego Chargers against the Cleveland Browns?
Wow. I'll say the Browns game's worse only because at least with the Raiders and Chiefs, at least it's a divisional game.
Right.
There's
Good
some
point.
History there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can harken back to the days when the Raiders and the Chiefs were good back in the day. So I'm going to go with the home team again, Bill. When in doubt, roll with the home team. The Kansas City Chiefs, I'm not confident about it, but both of these teams are going nowhere.
San Diego.
Both these teams are going nowhere. I'll take the Chiefs to win this game and get the 2-5 on the year.
All right, I like the Raiders on that one. Moving on, big NFC East battle. New York Giants are traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys.
Nobody's giving the Giants any love, Bill, but they continue to win. They've won 3 in a row. I think they get the job done in Jerry's world. They lost to Dallas on the season opener, correct?
They did.
They get the job done. They get the split on the season. They win in Dallas. And, you know, they just continue to have their stronghold on the NFC East.
G-Man!
All right, let's see if the G-Man can continue their dominance, as you mentioned, in the NFC East. But let's move on to the Sunday night game, Todd. Big matchup here. New Orleans Saints taking on the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning versus Drew Brees. Big offensive battle in this one. I'm expecting fireworks. An explosion of points when the Saints and the Broncos take the field on Sunday night.
Yeah, and if the Saints want to get back into the playoff picture at all, they have to win this game. So
yes, they do.
You know, if they can get to 3-4, you know, you never know. Their offense is playing pretty well right now. So they've got to win this game. 2-5 and they're done. There's too many good teams in the NFC. So it's a must-win for the Saints. They've been in must-win mode for 3 weeks now. Denver, on the other hand, not quite as much on the line for them, quite honestly. I mean, they could lose this game and still be in pretty good shape, quite frankly, which is scary. They could be 3-4 and still be okay.
Right.
But I'll take Denver at home in this one. I think Peyton Manning's ready to rock and roll. He's playing really well. Coming off the bye week too.
Cut that meat.
I think I like the Broncos over the Saints in this one too. Even though it's a must-win game for the Saints, I still think the Broncos are going to take it to them.
But coming off the bye,
is it going to be close, guys?
No.
You don't think it's going to be close?
Oh, yes. I do think it's going to be close, yeah.
It's 5.5. I was just looking at it.
I think it'll be a good game. I think it's going to be a great game, honestly. I really do.
All right, so we go from having a great game on Sunday night to a not-such-a-good game on Monday night. San Francisco 49ers taking on the Arizona Cardinals. That one might put me to sleep early on Monday night.
Didn't we just see, like, this game? It feels like we just saw this game.
Yeah, because the Niners played against the Seahawks last Thursday. Yeah.
Which was 13-6, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's pretty much what this will be.
And there's no college game on Monday night to take our eyes off the game like there was on last Thursday.
That's true. We had the Oregon Ducks rolling up major points to give us some offense to watch. In the world of football. Well, I'm going to take the Niners here on the road at Arizona. I think Arizona's season's about to fall apart. Their defense can only hold up so long. Their offense is terrible, Bill. Larry Fitzgerald, you know, he's fallen off the face of the earth. And why not? He has no quarterback to throw to him. Kevin Cobb, John Skelton, you know, put somebody back there that can throw the ball. They don't have it right now.
I would love to see a big Patrick Peterson either interception return for a touchdown or a punt return for a touchdown.
They're going to need it. That's the way they can win this game. They've got to score defensively and in special teams, and he is a playmaker. There's no doubt about it. But if San Francisco comes to play, if San Francisco plays a pretty clean game, I can't see them losing it.
All right, we had a very exciting show today. I'm very satisfied with the result of our Football Nation show. Kevin Collins, Todd DeVries, what are we doing in week 8? Kevin, I know you're not traveling to London.
Trying to go catch some tuna fish on
Trying
Saturday.
Trying to go catch some tuna, huh?
Even so with this hurricane out in the open sea.
Well, if weather permits, we'll see what it's going to be like.
What, you take Belichick's boat while he's over in London?
I take the five rings out for a spin, or whatever the heck it's called. He names it after the amount of rings he has. So
good for him. I would do the same thing.
So, I might just take that out for a spin and, you know, not tell him. Just give it a twirl. See where the day takes me. Have a few
Todd,
pops.
What are you doing?
I'm going to be watching every moment of football possible, just like every Sunday.
All right.
I'm going to be sitting on my couch with remote in hand, red zone on the 1 o'clock games, and then the 4 o'clock games, Bill. I'm hoping and praying that Giants-Cowboys game is a good one, because I'm sure as hell not watching that Raiders game.
No Halloween parties this weekend, guys? Kevin, Todd?
Well, Saturday night. Yeah, Saturday night.
All right, what are you dressing up as?
I got nothing.
I've got to figure it out. I don't know. I was just thinking about that before the show. I don't have a costume yet. I got to figure it out quick.
Kevin,
any recommendations?
You have nothing?
No, I mean, I used to be really into it, especially like in college and stuff, but not so much anymore.
So what were you?
I like going out and looking at the ladies, you know, Bill.
Yeah, because all the girls dress up like they really want to dress up in real life.
Yeah,
Halloween gives them an excuse.
It's their one excuse of the year, exactly.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
Todd,
what about you, Bill?
I'm dressing up as Bane from Batman.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's a great one.
So wait, so half your face you just keep
so modest,
same.
Bill. So modest.
I'm so excited about this costume. I've been planning it. As soon as I sat down in the movie theaters and watched this movie, I was like, "Oh, I have to be him for Halloween." There's no other choice. I have to be him for Halloween. So for the last 2 months, I've been looking for a costume. I've been planning. My brother's in the military. I have his big bulletproof vest. It's like a bomb-proof vest that I'm going to wear. It's got, like, Kevlar in it. I have this awesome mask. I got this big trench coat with the fur in it. I look like a excuse my language, but I look like a badass version of Bane.
I should dress up as Bill Enright for Halloween.
Nah, you don't want to do that. You'll scare way too many people.
Put a dress on, some high heels, you know, the usual.
Oh yeah, Bill. When are you gonna?
Halloween's the best excuse to do it, Bill. You'll blend in.
Yeah
but that's lame. That's lame.
On your bet.
I got.
You don't have any outlandish bets this week, Bill.
No, I don't.
We're starting to mount up.
Bill and I are clinging on for dear life with that bet that we made with the Patriots record.
No
they can't
Patriots
lose
losses.
Again. So
no,
they've got to win out.
So every week, Bill, we're gonna be on eggshells.
Yeah, I know.
Any other dumb bets you guys want to make with me?
Over under on how many kids I tell to get the hell away from my door when they're trick or treating.
In the costume?
Yes.
Oh wow. Over under.
I might just
all of them.
And, yeah,
I'll go
them.
All of them.
I hate trick or treaters.
Really?
Wow. Do you throw eggs at them and TP?
No,
and
but
all
you know
that?
What? I was. You know why I don't like trick or treaters? Because I was never a big candy kid. Like I never liked candy growing up. So I would just go
what
out.
What kind of kid doesn't like candy?
I just never like candy. I don't know. I know that's really weird.
What did you like?
What did I like?
Yeah.
Like as a snack? As a snack?
Yeah.
Yeah, what would you eat as a kid? Like for dessert and stuff.
I love the Cinnabons from the mall.
Okay, that's fair.
Love them.
Who doesn't?
Probably my favorite thing on earth, other than, or Taylor ham, egg, and cheese, like breakfast sandwich on a bagel.
Really?
Yeah.
So here's what you do, Bill. You flip it. You flip the phase. You hand out Cinnabons for trick-or-treaters at your house.
Nah, I can't do that.
Could be an expensive proposition.
And a big waste of Cinnabons.
You'd be the big hit of the neighborhood, man.
I don't want to be the hit. I want them to leave me alone.
You could get those like cheap like cinnamon things, like those little Debbie things.
Well, now Burger King is giving out the same Cinnabons that they make in the mall. So I've been taking some late-night trips over to Burger King.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if I can...
You take, as Dane Cook would say, you head over to the BK Lounge later.
Yes. Time. Yes, I do.
So you're going to be hiding in the bushes, scaring the hell out of kids?
No, one of my fraternity brothers from college is having a big party. I'm actually going to be the bouncer.
Sounds like I should be heading down your way then.
Instead, Kevin, you know, if you maybe ever came maybe, down to the to
I'll
New
take
York
Bill's
City,
boat
have
down
a really good time.
And I'll dock, you know, right on Ellis Island or something.
Right.
You can come grab me.
Yeah, we'd have a really good time in New York City. Make it happen.
Sounds good.
All right, so we're going to wrap up this show, Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Kevin is going fishing, Todd is watching football, and Bill is scaring away trick-or-treaters. I'm scaring away trick-or-treaters this weekend. Although Halloween's really not until next Wednesday, right?
No, not at all. Yeah.
Oh, all right. I have my dates confused.
Actually. You're just still going to scare people away anyway.
This jam is for Todd on the way out.
Little Rolling Stones for Todd?
Ah, look at that.
All right. Nice. Patriots going to London. Take on the St. Louis Rams. You've been listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. For Kevin Collins, our great producer, Todd DeVries, I am Bill Enright. Thanks for listening. Have a lot of fun in Week 8.
Football Nation is all football all the time.